Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Brian Koberger's defense team making some bold moves in this last week. And while not officially on the table as of our recording, by the time you hear this, it probably will be. Looking at throwing autism spectrum disorder, ASD, into the mix as a potential mitigating factor to likely avoid the death penalty. Okay, it's important to understand what that is all about, what that means in the context of reality and this story. Here's a real question, though. Does this change the way we should analyze his behavior, planning, and potential criminal intent? Koberger is on the spectrum. Does it actually explain some of his behaviors, or is it just a legal smokescreen? To break it all down from a behavioral analysis standpoint and law enforcement perspective, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent and former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Robin, from a profiling type standpoint, when you look at his actions, all the actions attributed to Koberger, stalking the house, planning the attack, allegedly, attempting to cover his tracks. Do these seem consistent with someone who struggles with impulse control and social awareness, or do they point to high-functioning, deliberate decision-making?
Well, you know, when we cover these really complex cases, which is the only thing that we do, there's always something new. And this one was something new I hadn't seen before. You know, it's like using autism as an excuse or mitigator in his behavior. I hadn't heard it before, so I had to actually do some digging on my own.
Yeah.
First of all, kind of going to your original question, his behaviors are still much more in line with someone who's escalating their violence, you know, which is on a track to, again, if it's him or whoever was doing this, you know, that serial killer in developmental kind of profile, or at least someone who is on a track to continue to commit more violence. And so on the autism question, there I only found two slight things. And this kind of goes to what I think, again, you know, the great defense attorney is doing. She's throwing everything she can at the wall here. You know, you said bold moves. I think it's desperate moves, because she keeps getting things, you know, thrown out in their favor. And so here's what I found. There's only very small bodies of literature when it comes to autism and crime. And most times what they're finding is that people on the spectrum are more likely to be victims of violent crime than actually perpetrating the violent crime.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. That's why it was an interesting tactic I found her taking. But then there was another little tingle of something regarding that, and it's right here. Just saying, people with autism spectrum disorder, ASD, may be less culpable for their actions in some cases due to deficits in moral reasoning and social skills. However, most people with ASD are law-abiding citizens. So most likely she's doing what you and I are doing. You know, you take patterns of behavior, you take research, you take everything you can and see if anything fits. And so, in other words, when you get a little teeny, not even a full data point, but a micro spec or a touch point of data point, that's all you're grabbing onto at this point, it means it's getting pretty desperate for them.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like that's where we're getting, that we're literally getting down now to arguing, well, if he does get convicted, you can't kill him because of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword for them, I think, because, I mean, you're not admitting guilt, but you're like, if you do think he's guilty, have a little bit of mercy on him, because look at the way his brain works. it also explains kind of the recipe for the path that he went on. Again, not everybody with ASD goes on a killing spree. Very, very, very few do. Just like in society, a very small percentage actually go out and do these sort of things as a whole. But some do, and some have very good skills at it because of their spectrum disorder and the way that they're able to meticulously plan things to such a degree that a neurotypical person just wouldn't.
You know, it's interesting, you know, I don't know if the audience that they're, as they're watching when we're doing our back and forth here is like, as soon as we hit on something, you can actually see my brain start to marinate on these things. And so as you're talking, I'm like, another thought struck me on this, that I think is very congruent with what we're seeing that she's been doing. And that's the defense. And that is, I don't think at this point she's doing as much for him and his defense as she's working on the jury. And here's what I mean by that. So when you look at those microscopic, you know, data points of autism regarding Koberger himself as a defense, it's like, what? But if you think about it, you know, so a lot of times when we're trying to identify with others, an identifying feature that we have in a lot of common with a lot of people is someone has either been part of someone who suffered from cancer, has had cancer. And so cancer is a big binder between a lot of people because a lot of people have suffered through that. And so it's a binder of people. Autism and being on a spectrum is also something that a lot of people can identify with. Either they have it, they know someone who's had it, and it's created situations in people's life that elicit compassion. And so for her to bring up that he's on the spectrum or even insinuate that he's on a spectrum, it gives her the ability to form an emotional connection between the jury and Koberger. Again, I think at this point, and I've said this from the very beginning, she's trying to save his life. And when you're trying to save a life, the best way to do it at this point, if there's overwhelming data points of DNA evidence, the best thing she can do is make an emotional connection between the jury and Koberger. And I think if I'm in a good empathetic mind, this is an effective way it might work.
I agree. I think the sticky point here and the question I have is how many people recognize what someone who is on the autism spectrum look like? Because I think a lot of people don't understand that. I think a lot of people think it's pretty extreme and like, oh, well, they're in their own special world over here. And it's not. I mean, it's like some of the right. most successful, some of the most driven people out there are on that. And that's what gives them the superpower to be able to do what they do. I mean, are there the opposite end of the scales where it's very low functioning and debilitating? Yes. Yes, there are. But it is so wide and it can be a superpower or it can be a hindrance to a lot of things in life. And then there's everything, you know, in between. And all the various, you know, functions that people can have where it's like, you're really good at this to a crazy degree. And it seems that, you know, Koberger really does kind of fit a lot of that. But again, how much is a jury going to understand this? How much are they going to be able to look at his younger years behavior, the examples that we know of his behavior and go, oh yeah, that's a different brain. Like he's thinking differently. And how much are they going to care at the end of the day going, he knows right and wrong? Because I don't think anybody's going to can argue that if you're autistic or you're on the autism spectrum, that you don't know right from wrong. You can certainly have a lack of empathy, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't care or that you don't know that what you're doing is truly wrong. So I just wonder how well that will stick with the jury, just considering how calculated this is and to people that he doesn't necessarily have a close connection to.
I'm with you. I think it's a stretch and it's going to be, I mean, it's a huge challenge that she has, but again, let's play out again, my conjecture and thought experiments of what I would try to do if I was her and I have nothing to work on. And that is, so it gives her the ability, though, in a courtroom to define autism in all its nooks and crannies to try to capture as many people emotionally as she can on that jury. Because like you just described, it's a wide swath. And then if she can describe this wide swath of people that it can then identify with, whether it's them as individuals or them knowing people, maybe their own children or someone related to their inner lives, that's an effective tactic. And then, so think about this. People have been labeling his behavior, including myself, as really psychopathic, lack of empathy, you know, this whole self-centered narcissism kind of thing, right? But if she can redefine him as autistic instead, that's going to have another little data point that might affect only one person that she needs to not agree with death penalty. And so I think she's really, really doing her best to throw a lot, as many darts, emotional darts as she can at the armor of others that are going to be judging. That's why we got to change a venue. We have time between the event and the trial. We have all these different nooks and crannies that she is really doing, I think, a phenomenal job exploring, because the data is not supporting her. You know, the facts are what the facts are. Now she's shifting from data. She failed on getting DNA specific scientific data admissible. And now she's got to shift to emotions.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, her first play at that.
And that's where we're looking. I mean, and that's the thing with something like this. Yes, we've been looking at psychopathy and all sorts of areas over there of what could be going on in Koberger's mind. And there's various traits that overlap quite a bit with various, you know, levels of autism, depending on where you're on the spectrum. It doesn't mean people with autism are psychotic, but you can have certain traits like the lack of empathy, you know, social awkwardness, things of that nature, where, yeah, they do kind of shift. And the two can coexist. That's another point to make. You can be on the spectrum and also be a psychopath or, you know, borderline narcissist, all of that. There's all these things that he could be. And at the end of the day, it's just a term. It's just a name. I think it really comes down to right and wrong. Did he know what he was doing was right or wrong? Otherwise, it's a label. And labels, you know, they define things, but they don't necessarily explain things.
It could also have, you know, it could also completely backfire her on as well, because this is the first case that you and I have covered that this has popped up. I mean, we have never had any case that we've covered that autism has been even mentioned as anything regarding it. And so because of that, it could also have an extremely negative effect, because, you know, people that have autism, you know, it's a special needs. Mm-hmm. And so to be using someone like everyday Joe's special needs as a defense could really inflame a lot of people as well, because you're trying to say that, you know, my son or my daughter or my friend could commit these heinous things because they have autism. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was really going to depend if she uses it, how she presents it. It could be fraught with even worse peril than she imagined.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.